Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 143 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? It is May 4th. I wish you a happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, as all the nerds are saying, which is actually kind of cool and kind of funny. This day, mark this day, people, this day is a historic day because this is the day that Ted Cruz dropped out of the Republican race. John Kasich dropped out of the Republican race. Yeah, he was still in. I know, nobody knew it, but he was actually technically still in. And so Donald Trump becomes the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, for the presidential campaign of 2016. That's right. Donald Trump, it looks like he's going to be the Republican candidate. I will admit, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. When I taped my special last year, I thought this Trump thing was a publicity stunt and it would go away. The White House Correspondents' Dinner this past Saturday, Barack Obama, brilliantly funny as he always is, sort of hit the press with a backhanded joke about, you know, Donald Trump getting the proper amount of coverage a hotel guy wanting publicity deserves. It was funny. I'm not quoting the joke, obviously, but basically he was saying, look, Trump did this as a publicity stunt. You followed his every word. Now he's a nominee. Anyway, he's a nominee. And the power base of the Republicans, the leaders of the party, some of the most outspoken right-wingers are upset. How upset are they? Well, we've got two Twitter hashtags trending right now. One of them is #NeverTrump. And the second one is #I'm with her. Yes, some of these some of these Republicans are so upset about it looking like Trump's going to be the nominee. And I keep saying it's looking like because they're trying every backdoor meeting and rule change. They're going to do everything they can to get rid of him. But right now, he's the guy. They're so upset, a lot of them are switching over to vote for Hillary, which makes me nervous about supporting Hillary. I mean, what does that say about her? Wow. But anyway, they are, they are upset. Some of the tweets and some of the people tweeting, Mark Salter, who was an aide to John McCain, his tweet, the GOP is going to nominate for president a guy who reads the National Enquirer and thinks it's on the level. I'm with her. There's a Meghan McCain, John's daughter. I guess when I said in 2012 that my party was going to evolve or die, it was going to die. Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina. And these are not progressive people. Okay, these are the most conservative right wings you can find. Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. Lindsey Graham is from 1840 or so. You know what I'm saying? He says, if we nominate Trump, we will get destroyed and we will deserve it. On and on. Just all of them. They are highly upset. And these are, again, a writer, Lachlan McKay from the Free Beacon, some right-wing paper, picture on his Twitter of him burning his Republican card. These guys are upset. Philip Klein, he wrote a book called Overcoming Obamacare. Okay? He wrote, I have officially deregistered as a Republican. They're done. Is the Republican Party done? It might be. I don't know. But if it is done, that they have no one to blame but themselves. Let's look at the recent history of the Republican Party, starting with the insanity of the Tea Party. You remember some of these candidates that they had, that they supported. Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum. These people were nuts. What they did was they pushed away any reasonable Republican. They kept going farther and farther right, more and more insane. I mean, you look at George Bush, okay, and I'm no fan of George Bush, but George Bush said that you couldn't balance the budget on the backs of poor people. They consider that socialism. Kid, that's what do they call it? Where they, you know, the balancing the economies of different groups. I'm sorry, I'm just laughing too hard to myself to even think straight. But, you know, income equality, that's what they call it, income equality. So if you're poor, you're supposed to be poor. Jesus meant for you to be poor. If you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you poor bastard, or we'll throw you out of the country if you're a Mexican poor bastard. And this was the talk. This is what they went for. And now they got Donald Trump. They got exactly what they wanted. This is unbelievable. I heard this months ago. A friend of mine who is a Republican businessman, he told me, he said, look, this was back in February, March. He said, I'm going with Hillary. He said, this was when they still had a three-way race. And I never count Kasich. Let's say it's a four-way race. This is when they still had Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump. And he said, I have no one to vote for in my party. And it hasn't stopped. I mean, they're no less crazy now than they were before. Okay, I'll give you an example. This is one of their voices. A guy named Alex Jones, Donald Trump supporter, and one of these right-wing radio guys. And, you know, right-wing radio has just become a place to yell, I hate you, whoever you are. Somehow, and you know, I don't even know. Basically, he says Beyonce's Lemonade video is part of this CIA plot to ruin America. You know, this is the thinking that they have. Okay, so this is what he says. I'm pro-human, so I say black people, especially, stop killing your kids and get them in church. Whatever, take them away from Beyonce, who wants to eat their brain with the CIA. Literally. He has seen, okay, he claims, this is what he has seen, literal devil-worshipping communists who support abortion rights turn into satanic lizards. We see Beyonce up there at the Super Bowl doing these anti-cop riot videos. And then we see her out with a new video where little girls follow her skipping as she beats up cars and blows things up. Yeah, so that's it. So Beyonce is part of a CIA plot to the Beyonce. To recap, this is what he's saying. Beyonce and Lemonade are part of a CIA operation that holds as its core mission the instigation of full-blown race war on the streets of America. Yeah, that's it. It's Beyonce who's the racist and leading all the racist rhetoric. Not Fox News, not any of the thousand right-wing stations that blame Barack Obama for everything. No, no, not the police shooting black people or none of that. No, it's Beyonce. You see, Republicans, this is why Donald Trump is your nominee, because this is what you guys believe. So the chickens have come home to roost. Right? That's what they say. Good luck. Now, here's my question about the presidency. Okay, assuming, and this is my assumption, that the grown-ups show up in November and Hillary becomes our next president. No disrespect to you, Bernie. Bernie, I know you're still in the running in Indiana. You split the delegates with Hillary. You got a few more claimed to be a win. But Bernie, even you said it's a long way to the top. You've been laying off people, Bernie. That has to kill you to be a work guy, laying off people. It's almost like you're a corporate boss. Anyway, assuming Hillary becomes president, I want to know, who is Fox News going to blame? Okay, remember that now for some of us, the country's doing fine. Okay, gas is about $2 a gallon everywhere except California. We pay a dollar surcharge, but gas is cheap. Unemployment is down below 6%, which is where all the Republican candidates claimed they were going to get it. The deficit is no longer a problem. It exists, but it's not crippling the economy like it once was. And so to most of us, country's doing pretty good. Yeah, the economy could be moving a little faster. Obamacare, it works. It's not the greatest system in the world, but it definitely works. Millions upon millions of people have health care who didn't. But according to the Republicans, country's a mess. It's the worst it's ever been. Barack Obama, this is the Fox News. They will not leave. You know, everything's terrible. Everything's horrible. Okay, well, Donald Trump's going to make America great again. Here's my question. Who do they blame if Hillary becomes president? You see, when Barack Obama became president 8 years ago, we have a short memory. We don't remember that things weren't that great. You know, back in 08, there were some problems. There was some housing problems. There was some banking problems. There was some recession problems. There was some, you know, things were going on. And 2 weeks after Barack Obama was elected, it all became his fault. They said, stop blaming George Bush. You've been president for 2 weeks. You started the Iraq War and you've broken the economy, right? So now what happens in beginning of February under Hillary? Do they say the country's not horrible, which would mean, oh my God, that would mean Barack Obama did a good job. That's the sound of the physical pain of Hannity saying Barack Obama did a good job. Or do they, you know, say that Barack Obama ruined it and Hillary starts with a clean slate? That's the pain of saying Hillary clean slate. So is it going to be or I don't know. I'm curious. I'm anxious to see which way they go on this. Who knows? Maybe Trump will win. Maybe Trump will win. And then I'm going to Canada to smoke weed because they are going to legalize it and we're going to need it. Anyway, Barack Obama will be leaving office. My nigga. Yeah, you remember. You heard it. Larry Wilmore at the end of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And Larry Wilmore's set was up and down. He started, he dug, as a comic, I'm telling you, he dug a big hole in the beginning, tried this joke about Wolf Blitzer being a drone, made fun of CNN not doing news, et cetera, et cetera. You know, making fun of the media in front of the media. These people take themselves seriously. They don't realize they're just models reading teleprompters. They think they're talking. So anyway, Don Lemon joke bomb, so on. Got in a good one on Al Sharpton. They liked the joke about Al Sharpton's hair. Had a good one about Ted Cruz, but then wrote it too hard. But up and down set, but tough. Tough gig following Barack Obama, because Barack Obama's a natural comic, and he was up there killing. But Larry Wilmore's final line is what everyone locked in on, because he said, I got to, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting exactly, but basically he said, Barry, I got to keep it 100, my nigga. Oh, the media lost their mind. He called the president a nigger. He said nigger in front of blah, blah, blah. He said my nigga. He said it with an A. And Larry talked about it on his show Monday. Told Pierce Morgan or whatever that guy's name is from Britain. There's a big difference between spelling it with an A and spelling it with an ER. Also, look, whether you like it or not, right, wrong, or indifferent, white people, it's a black person's word. It is a colloquialism. It is a used jokingly, used a symbol of friendship, used in rap music. Say, my nigga, you know, you had no problem with Denzel saying it in Training Day. And he said it 142 times. This is like every year at Christmas, I do this hilarious Jewish Christmas show at the Laugh Factory. It's hosted by Elon Gold. And Elon Gold, does these hilarious bits about being Jewy. You know, he's Jewish. The jokes are about being Jewy. I'm never going to say that a Jewish person is Jewy. You know why? Because I don't have the right. I'm not in. Okay. I can't call a gay guy a fag. It's an insult. They call each other fags and queer and whatever else because it's their society. They're allowed to say it, you know? And so get over it. All right. Stop acting like you're outraged. There's nothing funnier than watching Fox News act outraged over racism. Listen, Trump is your nominee. Don't you have enough problems? Don't you have enough problems without worrying about Larry Wilmore saying to Barack Obama, my nigga? Believe me, Barack Obama got it. Barack Obama plays basketball, all right? He's heard it before. I'm done. I'm moving on. There's a couple of other things I wanted to nail that are interesting to me, kind of funny to me. I don't understand. Transportation industry, I don't understand. Uber says they will do away with surge pricing. If you're not familiar with Uber and surge pricing, you haven't tried to get a cab in New York, okay? Because last time I was in New York, around the holidays, right after the holidays, It was trying to get a cab was impossible because the cabs are all Ubers now. Basically, if you can't beat them, join them. And what Uber does, when things get busy, okay, like I was in Manhattan and I want to say in December, if it starts snowing, everybody needs a car. If there's a big event, okay, say Beyonce's holding one of her CIA endorsed concerts and everyone gets out at the same time. That's a surge. That means a lot of people want Uber. Prices go up 2, 3, 4 times the normal amount. Uber drivers love it because that's when they make the most money. Some of them only drive during surge periods, rush hour, etc., etc. Well, Uber's saying that, that's not fair. We're going to change that. So they're looking at doing away with surge pricing. I'm trying to look at the article and see when. Obviously, drivers want surge pricing because they make more. But basically, Uber's looking at doing away with surge pricing. And I don't know what's going on. So Uber wants to do away with surge pricing. I told you last week, Delta's no longer going to charge you $25 extra to talk to one of their people by phone. Yes, they used to charge you $25 if you bought a ticket by phone. I don't know when's the last time I paid $25 to talk to somebody. Remember the 976 phone lines, kids? Haha, joke. Whatever. Are the transportation companies caring about you? Are they being fair? No. In a word, no. This is a story. This is to anyone out there feeling the burn. You're gonna love this one because this is a combination of a slap in the face to labor and CEOs gone mad. The former CEO of United Airlines, Jeff Smycic. Jeff had to leave when, I don't know if you remember this, United used to run a flight from JFK to a small airport in South Carolina, right? And this airport happened to be close to the home of the chairman of the Port Authority. Okay, so they had a flight from Newark to this small town. The small town happened to be the home of the chairman of the Port Authority. The Port Authority runs Newark Airport, JFK, LaGuardia, and tons of big time in New York. So they ran this flight. It was a money-losing flight because, you know, nobody really flew on it except this guy. So they had to get rid of this CEO for doing that. Okay, that was wrong. He's out. Jeff Smycic is out. Well, he's sort of out. Jeff Smycic gets $37 million in compensation. Okay, he quit in the midst of a corruption investigation. They're going to hang this on him. $37 million. And he also gets a car, free flights, and lifetime parking at New York's two major airports. What? What? Yet the employees at United have taken 15 hits over the past 10 years in their pension. If you're going to steal, steal big. Kids, stay in school, work hard, get to the top, and then steal. Rob them blind, and you will walk away paid. It's a damn shame. $37 million. You know what? United is my number one airline. It won't be for much longer. I'm telling you, the service and everything else is falling apart. But I have hundreds of thousands of frequent flyer miles, so I'm kind of vested in them. But anyway, this is the kind of thing. This is what Bernie's talking about. This is straight up criminal action by a CEO. This is not what makes America great. What else is going on? Basketball playoffs. My Clippers are out. Cleveland's still doing great. I'm happy for LeBron. Looks like it's going to be a hell of a battle between San Antonio and Oklahoma. Baseball, really early in the baseball season. Mets look good. I'm happy about that. I can't go into that right now. The Olympics, still question, is everybody going to live? Water's polluted. Buildings aren't built. Going to see how this plays out. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This weekend, I'm going to be in one of my favorite cities. I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon at Helium Comedy Club, and I'm looking forward to that. Next weekend, I'm going to be at the Mill Casino in Eugene, Oregon. Yeah, a couple of weeks in Oregon, but more importantly, a couple of weeks in the same time zone. I'm also going to be appearing at the Improv in Hollywood and the Laugh Factory. So everything's good. I hope you're good. I always ask who's paying attention, and I always thank you guys because you are. Wow. Trump is their guy. I didn't pick that one. Wonder what Vegas was paying on that bet.